We are concluding the book of Vayikra. And of course, it's Shabbos Mevarchim also, new month Sivan. We're heading in the direction of Shavuos now. So this morning, we started the fourth reading kind of yesterday. This morning, we're going to go to the new Parsha, the last Parsha, the Chukosai, which is the second half of the fourth reading in this year. And the last parsha of the Chumash, last parsha of Chumash Vayikra begins, Im b'chukosai telechu, if in my statutes you will walk, v'es mitzvosai tishmeru, and my mitzvahs you will keep, v'asisam oisam, and you will do them. So it sounds very poetic, very nice. You do God's mitzvahs, and God will take care of you. The problem, of course, is that we have three statements here, and we have to understand what each one means. We have number one, something called b'chukosai telechu, whatever b'chukosai in our statutes you should walk. Then we have this idea of mitzvosai, of the mitzvahs, and for them we say tishmeru, you should keep. And then we finish off by saying va'asisam ma'asim, you should do them. So what does telechu mean if not to do them? What does it mean? Whatever b'chukosai is, the statutes, the verb that follows is telechu. So if you're going to keep my Torah mitzvahs, in b'chukosai telechu. So the noun is b'chukosai, the noun is statutes, and the verb is telechu. And then the next noun is mitzvosai, my mitzvahs, and the verb is tishmeru, you're going to keep them. And then the third part of the pasuk is only verb, no noun, because it would seem to incorporate both nouns, the nouns of b'chukosai and mitzvosai, my statutes and my mitzvahs, and it just says another verb, va'asisam oisam. I guess oisam is that noun. Oh, we're not mentioning by name. Oisam is they or them. So the b'chukosai, the mitzvosai, you're gonna not only telechu. So gezunt chana. Come here, as your sassy baby. You need to go to sleep. So the idea is then that the va'asisam, the doing, would refer to both the mitzvahs and the b'chukosai. Let's take a look in Rashi and see how Rashi interprets this. But these are the implicit problems with the verse that on the surface seems very, you know, poetic. But what exactly is this verse saying? Incidentally, right after that, the next verse, verse 4, is V'nasati gishmechem b'itam v'nosna ha'oretz yivula. I'll give rainfall in its proper time, and the yield, earth will give its harvest. V'eitz ha'sod yitin piri, and the orchards will give all their fruits. So we have this notion that the reward, the im b'chukosai, if you will do these things, what will happen if, and if you'll do them? What will happen then? Oh, then everything will be great in the land of Israel. And not only everything will be great, not only you will have a remarkable harvest, you'll have abundant prosperity, but in verse 6 we even say, V'nasati shalom ba'aretz. There will be peace in the land. Imagine that. All right, so how do we get there? So the path to get there, to getting prosperity and peace, is im b'chukosai telechu. So Rashi comments on the following. He says, if it would have said, im b'chukosai telechu, that's it, b'chukosai telechu, so then the obvious intimation here would have been, do the mitzvahs. So Rashi says, Yochel, I would have thought, Zeo kiyam mitzvahs, that b'chukosai, my statutes, refers to Yiddishkeit. Statutes is a broad term which represents the idea of doing Hashem's mitzvahs. Okay, fine. The problem is that a moment later it says, V'es and mitzvosai tishmeru, and you'll keep my mitzvahs. So b'chukosai can't mean mitzvahs, because a moment later it says ve'es and mitzvosai tishmeru. So yochel zekiyom mitzvos, I would have thought that this is the fulfillment of mitzvos, but in fact the pasuk indicates otherwise. Kishu eimer, when a moment later the pasuk says ve'es mitzvosai tishmeru and you keep my mitzvos, ve'goimer harei kiyom hamitzvos amor. So there we have the fulfillment of mitzvos specifically stated. So it cannot be b'chukosai mitzvos mitzvos, because mitzvahs means mitzvahs. It says, v'es mitzvosai tishmeru. So if it's b'chukosai telechu, and then it's mitzvosai tishmeru, obviously b'chukosai cannot mean the mitzvahs. Homani mikayim. So what does it mean? What is the meaning of im b'chukosai telechu? What does the noun mean? But let's leave the verb alone for a second. Let's leave alone the telechu. The telechu would be less of a problem for us. The issue is the noun here. It says b'chukosai, and b'chukosai means statutes, which is incidentally a kind of mitzvah, as we'll discuss in a moment. But then it says mitzvosai tishmeru. So Rashi says, Mani Mikayim, and his answer is, in b'chukosai telechu, what does it mean, in my statutes, you'll go? It means, tiyu shetiyu amelim ha'Torah. This refers to toil in Torah. That's what Hashem expects of us. So im bechukos telechu, that means not if you will do mitzvahs, but rather im pshut shel mikra, on a literal level, what does it mean? Im bechukos telechu?
Talmud Torah.
If you learn Torah. Not just learn Torah. If you'll toil in Torah. Toil in Torah. So bechukos telechu means to toil in Torah. Okay, so bechukos telechu means to toil in Torah, and then what is the meaning of the es mitzvah yisaytishmu? Am a mitzvah you'll keep. Now we're talking about keeping mitzvahs. So Rashi continues this thesis, and he says, the Torah is not talking about keeping mitzvahs now. The Torah is talking about toiling in Torah. Oh, but if I toil in Torah, who says I'm going to keep mitzvahs altogether? And the answer is, what does toil in Torah mean? So the next part of the pasuk qualifies the meaning of toil in Torah. And that is, v'esvitzmeisai tishmeru means, havu ameilim batayra, you should toil in Torah, but what kind of toil in Torah? Amenas lishmeru lekayim. If your toil in Torah is action-oriented, if your toil in Torah is an act of loyalty to Hashem, an act of faith to Hashem, an act of commitment to Hashem, so then you're not just going to be toiling in Torah because there are academics who like to toil, people who enjoy learning. But the purpose, the focus of the learning is l'kayim v'lishmer, to do what you're supposed to do. So in other words, the whole reason that I'm learning, the reason I'm toiling in the Torah, is only to be able to carry these principles, these ideals and ideas into actuality. And therefore, the Torah opens up then with a broad statement about the study of Torah. It tells us about im b'chukos telechu, that what's required from us is toil in Torah. It also tells us that the meaning of toil in Torah is to learn Torah in a manner that specifically is going to lead us into the fulfillment of mitzvahs, into action. K'moshe Nemar, like it says in Parshas Veschanan, later on in the Torah, when it actually speaks about, this is in the Shema, where it actually speaks about the learning of Torah, it says, "V'limadetem oisam, u'shmartem la'aseisam." You'll learn them, you'll keep them to do them. So clearly, Moshe Rabbeinu later, when he speaks about the study of Torah, he indicates that the study of Torah must be performed in a manner of learning in order to fulfill, in order to keep. If you're learning Torah, but the goal is not to keep the Torah, then the goal is not to actually live by its principles, that's not called toil of Torah. You could be an academic, you could be a student, you could be having a scholarly experience. It may be very edifying, very enjoyable. You can be an educated Jew. You're not a Torah Jew. A Torah Jew toils in Torah, and the purpose of the toil is to lead me in the direction of fulfilling Hashem's mitzvahs. Now, Rabbeinu Bechaya has a totally different approach to this pasuk. And the reason Rabbeinu Bechaya has a different approach, and I'll soon explain to you why Rashi can't take that approach. Rabbeinu Bechaya's approach is that this is a continuation of the previous parsha. In the previous parsha, we spoke much about the laws of Shemitah and the laws of Yovel, the laws of the field lying fallow and the laws of the Jubilee. So Rabbeinu Bechaya, what bothers him, presumably, is why it says Bechukeisei. Why does it say Bechukeisei in my statutes? Statutes are but one kind of mitzvah. And surely you know that there are three kinds of mitzvahs. There's mitzvahs which are understood by us or rationally inclined. We would come to this decision on our own. Most societies have come around to understand the value, the virtue of this behavior, for example, respecting parents. That's just a normal thing to do. Not to murder. That's a normal thing to do. To be kind and considerate to others. There are many societies that espouse values and virtues like that. And of course, we do so because the Torah tells us to do so, which is the idea of mishpatim, ordinances. Then we have edus. Edus are mitzvahs which are testimonial. They're not irrational. You can easily explain to somebody that we believe that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and that the world is not an accident, and that we are here, placed here by divine design and by divine providence for a purpose, and that we therefore commemorate the notion of creation on a weekly basis. Each and every week we go through the cycle of 6 days of work and a day of rest, and that gives us a sense of focus. That keeps us grounded. We know what we're doing here. We're reminded every single week that we are not the results of a freak cosmic accident, that we have been placed here, that we have a mission. Shabbos gives us time for us to focus. We're more involved in spiritual pursuit. So it's not an illogical thing. You could say, I don't believe in that. You could say, I don't want to buy into that. Okay, but it's still logical. Or when you come to a person and say, you're going to eat matzah because when we left Mitzrayim, we left in great haste and the dough didn't have a chance to rise. All right, fine. I wouldn't maybe not come to that on my own, but every society or civilization or country has things it does because they are commemorative of something that once happened. And then we have chukim. Chukim are mitzvahs which we really don't understand. Like really, why can't you eat meat and milk, or why is the pig not kosher? You can eat the cow, but you can't eat the horse. Why? What difference does it make? Or you can wear wool, you can wear linen, but don't put the wool and linen together. Who cares? What difference does that make? And many other things like that. So why did the Torah specifically choose in B'chukaisi Telechu, when it opens up a parsha in which Hashem promises peace in the land and Hashem promises harvest, which the harvest is promised in verse 4 and 5, and peace in the land is promised in verse 6. And the verses prior to this parsha, the end of Parsha's Bahar, speaking about Shemitah, so Rabbeinu Bechaya says, it's a no-brainer. Chukim means the idea of Shemitah and Yovel. Because the truth is, he says, the fact that we should lie fallow, the field should lie fallow, makes no sense. It sounds ridiculous. You cannot run a country where every 6 years, all of a sudden, all the farming activity ceases. Nobody has ever come up with such an idea. Yeah, sure, we leave some fields fallow some of the time. People get to take vacation some of the time, not all at the same time, and not for a year. It doesn't make sense. This is a chukah. Okay, so we're talking about the land before. We're talking about the land after. Rabbeinu Bechaya casts this as within that framework. Of course, the problem with Rabbeinu Bechaya's approach, so what does it mean, mitzvah yisa tishmiru? He doesn't explain the redundancy. And vasisa maisim. Now, according to Rashi, that this verse makes a lot of sense. And according to Rashi, this verse is to be understood in a much more general way, where it represents not just the specifics of one collection of mitzvahs or another, but rather all of the mitzvahs that are performed together in unison. Now, chukim, as the Sefarnu and the Tzer Hamar say, are gzeiros hamelech leloy tam v'havana. These are the decrees of the king, which are done not for rhyme or reason, not even because they're testimonially logical to us, but rather something we do because Hashem tells us to do it. And very interestingly, both the Sefarno and the Tzrei Hamor suggest that the fulfillment of chukim would be called telechu. Why? What do you walk with?
Your legs.
You don't walk with your head. I mean, I know some people, they bounce a soccer ball on the head, but as a rule, it's called kaderegel, right? Let's say mobility, getting around, that's your legs. So what's the least intelligent part of a person? The legs, the feet. The fingers are somewhat intelligent. Fingers, you know, people can write with their fingers. People can sculpt and paint with their fingers. There's like what's called chassidus. There's chokhmah, which is mislabish. There's wisdom or talent, which kind of embodies itself in the fingers also. There's a very delicate, fine coordination of the fingers. But the feet, I mean, feet are feet. Feet are, they just, you know, get it done. Walking is walking. It's true, babies don't walk. But I mean, like, you know, at a certain point, they figure out how to walk. You don't have to be incredibly talented to walk. Hey, little girl. Yeah. I'll make fun of you. Okay, you go to sleep. Shh. So tired, mama. Go to sleep. So the idea then, he says, when you have chukim, which means to place our intelligence, put our intelligence aside, the Sefarno says that means halicha. Then we talk about going, because obviously this is the non-intelligent part of our observance of mitzvahs. I'm not using heart and mind. I'm using feet. I'm using mobility. I'm just getting it done. Why does it say chukai sai? If we follow Rashi's approach that this means Torah study, why is it plural? So the Eruch Haim has a number of beautiful commentaries on this. He says, number one, when we talk about the study of Torah, all of Torah always is understood in two ways. Let me reframe that. All of Torah has to be framed. It's either scripture or it's oral tradition. Teir shebichsav, teir shebal peh. Like the Rambam says in his preface to Mishnah Torah, he says Torah and mitzvahs, he says the Torah is the scripture, the mitzvah is the terminology we use for the oral tradition, for the Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Torah is Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and you have to toil both in Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and because of that, we use both expressions. That's why it says here, Besvitzvoy Sei Tishmeru, and he says that's the reason it's plural, that's the B'chukai Sei, the plural of B'chukai Sei. Another idea, he says, is that kviyas itim l'teira, which a person has to establish permanent time to study Torah, has got to take place, it says, by day and by night. By day and by night. And because it's by day and by night, so therefore he says, b'chukai sai is plural. Another idea, he says, Torah study, if it is to be done properly, one must study Torah on their own, one must also teach Torah. It's not enough to study Torah on your own. Every Jew has to be a student. Every Jew has to be a teacher. And because of this, b'chukai sai is plural. What does it mean to toil in Torah? To toil on both levels. We have to toil and work really hard at studying Torah ourselves, understanding Torah as well as we can ourselves. At the same time, if we don't work at trying to convey ideas of Torah, then we're shirking our duty. That's not called toil of Torah. Toil of Torah has to encompass all that together. Okay, so these are various interpretations and teachings which help us understand the opening verse of the Parsha. And we're going to conclude now with a fascinating and beautiful lesson from the Rebbe. It's the beginning of the Biuri HaChumash on Bechukaisi, number Aleph, the very first one. So the Rebbe asked this well-worn question, a question that everybody talks about. Madua misyaches hakosav lemitzvus bekinei chukim. Why does the Torah refer to mitzvahs here as chukim? I mean, at the end of the day, this verse kind of speaks about Yiddishkeit at large. Yes, it's true. Rashi says in pshuta shel mikra, on a literal level, bechukosai and then mitzvosai necessitates the understanding that one talks about toil of Torah and the other talks about performance of mitzvahs, or toil of Torah as it is action oriented towards the performance of mitzvahs. But broadly speaking, if you asked somebody, or somebody would ask you, so what does the Parsha open up with? The answer would be, the Parsha opens up with the idea that if we do our part, Hashem will do His part. That Hashem promises if we do what He asks of us, then He will respond in kind and do what He promised He'll do for us. So the question would be then, why do we refer to Yiddishkeit as Bechukosai? Since the Parsha comes to be a broad representation of doing what Hashem wants, why do we end up with the word chukim, which, as we said, represent mitzvahs, which we don't understand? Hada yedua,
as opposed to saying im torati telecho?
Im torati telecho, im mitzvotai, which could be a broad term, which means all kinds of mitzvahs.
But
see,
it says mitzvotai tishmeru.
So. Understood. Yeah. So that's what Rashi ends up with the idea, that b'chukosai means the study of Torah. But he could have said mishpatai tason, could have said edotai. Why chukim? You had to find a word. Again, I don't think anybody would suggest to you that chukim is more tightly related to study of Torah than mishpatim, for example. On the contrary, the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us, right after Matan Torah, was Eilah HaMishpatim. Mishpatim is things you learn, understand. Chukim is almost like you don't understand.
Right.
Huh? So it's beyond our understanding. So here is the Rebbe's suggestion, at least one of his suggestions that he made over the years when he taught this. He said the Yeshleimer, Shebekach melamdeinu hakosuf, what the pasuk, what the verse, what the Torah is trying to teach us here is, Shekiyuman shall call hamitzvahs, that the fulfillment of all mitzvahs, tzarech liyeis doima lekiyuman shel chukim. All mitzvahs, mitzvahs that have rhyme and reason, mitzvahs that are understood in the frame of testimonial observances, where we have an anniversary we recall, or a theme, a motif that we're animating and activating through the performance of a mitzvah, all mitzvahs have to be performed in a manner of chukim. And what does that mean? Kishem shekiyumen shel chukim, just as we speak of the fulfillment of chukim, as mitzvahs, she'einan nitones lahavanas sichlis. These are mitzvahs which are not understood with rhyme and reason. Rather, how do we do those mitzvahs? Do we relate to those mitzvahs? Do we understand those mitzvahs? We do those mitzvahs, proverbially speaking, mitech kabbalos el machos shemayim bivad. We accept those mitzvahs. We will do what Hashem says. I cannot explain to you why I'm doing this. I cannot rationalize the reason for it. I'm ready to do it. You know, like Matan Torah, Nasa v'nishma. We're going to do what you ask. I don't understand why, but if Hashem wants that, that's what we'll do. So the notion is that these are mitzvahs that we do out of subservience. Subservience to Hashem. So the Rebbe said, the truth is, aleinu l'kayim es kol ha-mitzvahs. That is the spirit that should permeate all of our observance of mitzvahs, gam edus, even the mitzvahs which are testimonial in nature, or the mitzvahs which are called mishpatim, ordinances, laws that make sense to us, laws that other societies or peoples or countries do because it's logical, it makes sense to do it that way. We won't do it that way. We will not follow these ideals and ideas because they make sense, because the Western world embraces them, because they're said to be lofty or virtuous. Why will we do it? Because Hashem said we should do it. In other words, we will respect human life not because we have come to the conclusion that it's the right thing to do, it's a nice thing to do, that human rights is a good thing to do, and if we're nice to other people, they'll be nice to us. No, that's not why we'll respect human rights. We'll respect life and rights. We'll respect people because Hashem says we should. We'll return lost items, not because it's the virtuous thing to do, but because Hashem says we should do it. We'll respect our parents because Hashem says it's the thing for us to do. In other words, we'll fulfill Eidos HaMishpatim mitoch Kabbalas Oil v'tzius l'ratzon HaBeira. And it's with a sense of subservience, with a sense of fulfilling the will of God. Dear God, if that's what you want us to do, we're there. We'll do what you ask of us. That's why we do mitzvahs. V'loy mishum shehehigoyin mechayev es kiyuma. Not because logic impels or compels us to do so. Well, afize yuvan, now we'll understand something else. Once we can understand and appreciate why all mitzvahs are best represented by the word chukim, and why in some way, the most powerful and profound way for God to convey to us that if you'll do my mitzvahs, you'll do your part, I'll do my part, is through the terminology of chukim, now we'll understand the verb that follows the noun, which is telechu. Adam alu lachshev, a person might think, shekiyum ha-mitzvahs mitech tzios v'kabbalas el bovad, that fulfilling mitzvahs out of simple subservience, just listening to what Hashem says, hu behechrich chaser chayes v'netul regesh, it'll be lifeless. It'll be passionless. I'll just be doing what I'm supposed to do, like a dry crust of bread. There'll be no energy. There'll be no moist vivacity. There'll be no dynamism. No, do what I have to do, whatever you want. I don't understand what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing it. I don't enjoy what I'm doing. But I have to do it, so I'll do it. And sometimes people do it. They call it doing things dutifully. Yes, duty calls. I'm there. I'm doing it. How do you feel about doing this? Lousy. You want to do it? No. Is it over yet? We do it out of a sense of duty and a sense we're being compelled or forced to do it. And one might think that if you fulfill mitzvahs in that fashion, invariably what will happen is that the mitzvahs will be done in a manner that is lifeless. You'll never reach this idea of constant growth. See, growth and dynamism, they go together. When a person enjoys what he or she is doing, when a person identifies with the sentiments and the ideas that they're engaged with, you continue to grow within it. Why do you grow with it? Because you nurture this idea. You identify even more with it. You appreciate it in even a more profound way, in a more beautiful way. It grows, it develops, because it's a live thing. But if it's just an action, it's like a square, dry action, how could it change? How could it get any deeper? How could it get any more meaningful? It can't develop. It can't expand. It is what it is. And the Torah comes along to you and says, no, that's actually not correct. Doing what Hashem wants with a sense of duty, of Kabbalah's oil, can be done with passion. And because it can be done with passion, it necessarily can engender spiritual growth as well, personal growth. The idea of Telechu. The Pasuk is Madgish. The Pasuk emphasizes the terminology in B'chukosai, not keeping just, but Telechu, to move forward. Omnam kiyum ha-mitzvahs sarach liyis mitech Kabbalah's oil. Indeed, the fulfillment of mitzvahs must be done with a sense of duty, Kabbalah's oil, B'chukosai. Aval, Kabbalah's oil zu, tzricha lichlel hismasrus pnimius. At the same time, inasmuch as we are doing things subserviently, because this is what Hashem wants, at the same time, we do something with an inner commitment. We do it by identifying with the mission. This is perhaps best captured with the metaphor of Eved Nemon, of the proverbial trusted, loyal servant. Hamis'anig mekach, who delights shehu geirim oinig la'adoinav. He doesn't really understand why he does these things. He doesn't even know why it's meaningful. He doesn't know why the person that he serves cares about these things. But he does know that the person that he loves very much and cares for very much gets happy about this. And because that will bring him joy, and because that will bring his master a sense of fulfillment, he identifies with that fulfillment. He rejoices in that rejoicing. And because of that, this Eved is totally committed, totally loyal, totally involved. V'chach, yesh b'koicha l'havias ha'odam l'dei yis'alas ruchnis ad b'ligvul. The truth is that when a Yid serves Hashem with love for Hashem, and because I love Hashem, if this is what makes Hashem happy and this is what Hashem wants, I do it wholeheartedly, that enables a Yid to really grow, to really develop, to really go from strength to strength. Why? Because then it's not about the frame of my existence or my understanding or my personality, what I can relate to. Ultimately then, whose joy, satisfaction, and fulfillment am I seeking? The Creator's. And the Creator is infinite. And so a person can continue to grow within that, continue to develop within that, continue to go, mechayel ol chayel. That's the real telechu. That's the real idea of surging forward and moving from strength to strength. We'll talk more about that, Bezrat Hashem, on Friday morning in the Maamar. And with this, we'll conclude our brief analysis. of the opening verse of Parshas Bechukei Sech.